He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. I got a story for you. It was in 1986, and Peter Davies was on a holiday in Kenya after graduating from Northwestern University. That's where Jennifer's father went to school. On a hike through the bush, he came across a young bull elephant standing with one leg raised in the air. The elephant seemed distressed, so Peter approached it very carefully. He got down on one knee and he inspected the elephant's foot and he found a large piece of wood deeply embedded in the foot. As carefully and as gently as he could, Peter worked the wood out with a knife, after which the elephant gingerly put its foot down. The elephant turned to face him, and with a rather curious look on its face, he stared at him for several tense moments. Peter stood frozen, thinking of nothing else but being trampled. But eventually the elephant trumpeted loudly, turned, and walked away. Peter never forgot that elephant or the events of that day. 20 years later, Peter was walking through the Chicago Zoo with his teenage son, and as they approached the elephant enclosure, one of the creatures turned and walked over near where Peter and his son Cameron were standing. The large bull elephant stared at Peter, lifted its front foot off the ground, and then put it down. The elephant did that several times and then trumpeted loudly, all the while staring at the man. Remembering his encounter from 1986, Peter could not help wondering if this was the same elephant. So he summoned up his courage. He climbed over the railing, and he made his way into the enclosure. He walked right up to the elephant and stared back in wonder. The elephant trumpeted again. He wrapped its trunk around one of Peter's legs and slammed him against the railing, killing him instantly. It probably wasn't the same elephant. Oh, you wanted the other ending, didn't you? You wanted the ending where the elephant starts to speak and says, "Thank you, I remember you. You're the one that took the thorn out of my paw. I love you." Folks, that's a fairy tale. That doesn't happen. In real life, if you go into an elephant's enclosure, it's a very dangerous thing to do. Don't do it. Fairy tales are things that we dream about, we hope about, but it's not real life. Real life is totally different. Real life has pain. Real life has suffering. Real life has death. Real life has Arizona Wildcats basketball. It's not like the fantasy world at all. Fantasy is something totally different. It's not the real life. In real life, there's pain and death and dying, and that's what the disciples felt on Friday. After they had been with what they thought was their knight in shining armor, Jesus, who knew how to do everything. Wherever they went with him in Galilee, he was always there. He always had an answer. He always had a solution. If people were sick, he was able to heal them. If people were hungry, he was able to feed them. If the wine went out, he was able to make water turn into wine. If the storms were coming in the boat, he was able to stand and rebuke the storm and make the sea calm again. They thought that he was the fantasy, that he was the knight in shining armor, but when he went into Jerusalem on that last week of his life, and he boldly came in on Palm Sunday, by Friday, he had been caught in the Garden of Gethsemane, brought to trial, and then he had hung on a cross, brutally murdered until he died, and they didn't have enough time to bury him, and so they put him in a tomb, and there he lay. That is real life. That's not the fantasy world. That is the real life that they had to deal with. And there is so much in our life today that we have to deal with, the darkness of our life that isn't the good, happy stuff. It's the real stuff. It's the people who get sick. It's the people who suffer, people in pain, people who've lost their job, people who die. Just this last couple weeks ago, I was able to do a funeral for a young man, 17 years old. his life in front of him, and he tragically died, and I had to go and be a part of that family and the funeral. It's a horrible thing. That's the real life. That's the real horrible things that happens in the real world, not in the fantasy world that we want to live in. There are no knight in shining armors. Or maybe there is a knight in shining armor. You know, the expert on fantasy and reality, believe it or not, is a man named J.R.R. Tolkien. Have you heard of him? He's the author of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. You may not know this, but he was a professor at Oxford for 34 years. And he was an incredible, gifted man. He wrote incredible stories. He studied tales of fantasy. He's called the father of modern fantasy. As a matter of fact, while he was at Oxford, you may not know this, but he became friends with a young man named C.S. Lewis, who was not a Christian. And it was Tolkien's thoughts about God that helped bring C.S. Lewis to Christianity. Now, Tolkien, who was the father of modern fantasy, actually studied it and looked at it, and he said there's actually two kind of things. You have a story, and as you're going into the story, there's a turning point in the story. He calls it the turn. And he says there's two things that can happen in the turn. He said the one thing that can happen in the turn is it all falls apart and things just go terrible. He says that's drama. And the word for that is discatastrophe. It's where something happens in the story and things fall apart and it just is terrible. That's discatastrophe. He says, but there's another part of the story. He says, you come to the turn in the story and things turn good. And he called that the eucatastrophe, E-U catastrophe. E-U is the Greek word for good. And he said, now it's that eucatastrophe that lifts people's spirits. And he was very good at this. I don't know if you've ever read Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit or any of the books that he's written, but he will get to the point in the story where all looks hopeless. The Hobbit is sitting there getting ready to be dissected and cooked for dinner, and then all of a sudden the giants start arguing with him and they forget about the Hobbit and the Hobbit leaves, right? That's a eucatastrophe. It looks like all hope is lost and everything's gone, and then all of a sudden something happens and it turns out for good and it's a great good that happens. And he was very good at this. Tolkien was very good at this. He said it's eucatastrophe and discatastrophe. This is what he wrote. He said, as the mark of a good fairy story of the higher or more complete kind, that however wild its events, however fantastic or terrible the adventures, it can give to child or man that hears it, when the turn comes, or the eucatastrophe, a catch of the breath, a beat of the lifting heart, near to, or indeed accompanied by tears, as keen as that given by any form of literary art and having a peculiar quality. What he says is that these stories, these fantasy stories, they serve a purpose in life. What he found fascinating, and he lived in the early 1900s, he found fascinating is that in the history of mankind, these stories were integral to almost all societies. But what happened, beginning in the 20th century, and rationalism, basically people started to say, well, those stories are nice, but they're for children. They're not really for adults. And Tolkien said, no, they're more for adults than they are for children. And why is the answer to that? Why would he say that? He said this. He said the Gospels contain a fairy story or a story of a larger kind which embraces all the essence of fairy stories. They contain many marvels, peculiarly artistic, beautiful and moving, mythical in their perfect self-contained significance. And among the marvels is the greatest and most complete conceivable eucatastrophe. But this story has entered history and the primary world. The desire and aspiration of subcreation has been raised to the fulfillment of creation. The birth of Christ is the eucatastrophe of man's history, and the resurrection is the eucatastrophe of the story of the incarnation. This story begins and ends with joy. And it does begin and end with joy because on that Sunday morning, when the ladies went to the tomb, they were expecting the real world. They weren't expecting what happened, but when they got there, the tomb was empty. The stone had been rolled away, and there was Jesus in resurrected form. It's a story that lifts our souls. Tolkien would say it is a story that in and by itself is enough to be powerful enough in a person's life to convert them, to get them to believe. It's that powerful of a story. And it's a true story that happened on that Easter morning. It's a story that lifts our hearts and our spirits and fills us with joy so that when the things in life that happen that are terrible, we know that that is not the end, that all things can work together for good for to all those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. It's not the end of the story. There is a knight in shining armor. And there are two types of people out there. There are those who believe in the resurrection and those that don't. And those that believe in the resurrection, according to Tolkien, are the ones when they hear these fantastical, mythical stories, it lifts their hearts because they know it points to the one true story of God coming into this world. And it fills their hearts with joy. But for those who don't believe in the resurrection, when they hear stories like this, myths and legends and tales, they say, well, that's nice, but that doesn't happen in the real world. And so it makes them angry and bitter and sour. My friends, be resurrection people. Be filled with the wonder of God's power in this world. The pain and suffering that we go through is not the end. There is a knight in shining armor who comes at the end and comes to you and saves you. There is one that comes in the end and gives the kiss to the young fair maiden and bright makes her rise again. There is one who comes in the end and puts on the slipper and turns you into a princess or a prince. There is one who comes in the end who fights for you, who takes all your sorrows and all the sad things that happens in your life, and he takes them and washes them away. Because there is one who was resurrected, the one that we celebrate today. And when we hear the stories, we're filled with joy and hope and peace, and all the suffering of this world is just a tiny fragment of the joy that we will have at the end of the world. Now, that story I told at the beginning about the elephant, see, now you thought it was a different story. You thought it was actually Androcles and the lion, right? This was one that was an Aesop's fable. There was a slave named Androcles, and he once escaped from his master and fled to the forest. As he was wandering about there, he came upon a lion lying down, moaning and groaning. At first, he turned to flee, but finding that the lion did not pursue him, he turned back and went up to him. As he came nearer, the lion put out his paw, which was all swollen and bleeding, and Androcles found that a huge thorn had gotten into it and was causing all the pain. He pulled out the thorn and bound up the paw of the lion, who was soon able to rise and lick the hand of Androcles like a dog. Then the lion took Androcles to his cave, and every day he used to bring him meat from which to live. But shortly afterwards, both Androcles and the lion were captured, and the slave was sentenced to be thrown to the lion. After the latter had been kept without food for several days, the emperor and all his court came to see the spectacle, and Androcles was led out into the middle of the arena. Soon the lion was let loose from the den and rushed bounding and roaring towards his victim. But as soon as he came near to Androcles, he recognized his friend. And fawning upon him, he licked his hands like a friendly dog. The emperor, surprised at this, summoned Androcles to him, who told him the whole story, whereupon the slave was pardoned and freed, and the lion was let loose to his native forest. That's the story. That's the one that you want to hear, isn't it? And it lifts our souls because it points to the story, the one where God became flesh and died and rose again. And because of that, we have hope for everything in this world because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Just to-